Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Vayomer, lachen shma dvar Adonai. Ra'iti et Adonai yoshev kiso v'chol tzva ha'shamayim omed alav mimino mismolo. So now, Michayahu is going on. He says, all right, well, now if you're already listening, listen to what Hashem really has to say. I saw, and this is now the vision that Michayahu saw, I saw Hashem on his throne, and all of the hosts, the heavenly hosts, standing about him, on the right, his right, and to his left. Obviously, symbolically, because Hashem is not a person that has a right or a left, but all of the heavenly court is in session. Vayomer Adonai, mi yefateh et Achav ve'ya'al ve'yipol beramot Gilad. Vayomer ze becho, ve'ze omer becho. And Hashem says, who's going to seduce Achav to go up to battle and die in Ramot Gilad? And one says with this, and the other says with that. So we have another very interesting interchange, this whole vision of a court system or of a heavenly powwow of consultation that Hashem is actually asking opinions from people about, not people, but from the forces of nature, of the heavenly hosts, about how to go about his business of killing Achav in Ramot Gilad. And everyone gets to chime in. Very interesting. Vayetze haruach, vayamod lefnei Adonai, vayomer ani afatenu, vayomer Adonai elav bama. And the wind, the spirit, came and stood before Hashem and said, I will seduce him. And Hashem says, how are you going to do that? Vayomer etze, vayayiti ruach sheker v'fi chol nevi'av. Vayomer tefate v'gam tuchal, tse v'asechen. And then the Ruach says, oh, I'll just go. I will be a false prophecy in the mouth of all of the Nevi'im. And of Nevi'av, of his Nevi'im, meaning of Av's Nevi'im. And he says, oh, go ahead and seduce him. You will be successful. V'gam tuchal means you'll be successful. You will prevail. Go out and do so. Right? We have also, Naftule Elohim Niftalti Imachoti Gam Yacholti, when Rachel is talking about having children and in the contest with Leah. So at that point, Rachel feels she's even prevailing over her sister, which shows us about the order of the birth there. It really was out of order of what the text is telling us, but there also, Tuchal means to prevail, to win. And here too, you will prevail, you will win over the Nevi'im. And this is the Ruach Sheker that's going to go to the Nevi'av, to the Nevi'im of Achav. So which seems to be they're not Nevi'eh Hashem, Nevi'eh Achav on payroll. Ve'ata hine natal Adonai ruach sheker b'fi kol Nevi'echa ele, v'Adonai diber alecha ra'a. It says, and now you see, this is exactly what happened, says Michayahu to Achav. Hashem gave a false prophecy to all of your Nevi'im, these Nevi'im, kol Nevi'echa ele, not Nevi'eh Hashem, but really Hashem has it out for you. Now, on the one hand, it could be that Michayahu is separating himself out from the group as those people being Nevi'eh Sheker and he's Nevi'eh Emet, but he just said the same Sheker as everybody else. And we could say that it was peer pressure, but we don't want to attribute our Nevi'eh Emet to not fulfilling his duties because he's intimidated by the crowd. And so it could be that if really all of them were really Nevi'eh Hashem, and this was the Gezerah, this was the idea that there had to be the Ruach Sheker says to every Navi, this is what you need to say. So that would apply to Michayahu as well. Michayahu also had to say the same thing. The same Ruach Sheker had power over Michayahu just like it had over everybody else. But once he fulfilled the Ruach Sheker, now he has free reign and Michayahu can go back to saying the real story. Ve'ata, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. After having said all of these bad things, suddenly we have another member of the group. Vayigash Sidkiyahu ben Kena'ana, the one that we mentioned to before, about the one who had the iron horns. Vayaket Michayahu al Alehi. Vayomer, Eze Avar Ruach Adonai Me'iti Ledaber Otach. And Sidkiyahu ben Kena'ana, he came near, and he slapped Michayahu in the face. And he says, oh, you know, I just had a Ruach Hashem to hit you. Right, some people want to explain ledaber otach means to speak to you, but he didn't speak to him just now, he just hit him. So really, ledaber, I think here, comes from the idea of yadber sonen otach tehem, that there's the idea of crushing, of hitting, of destroying, and he's basically teasing him and saying, oh yeah, yeah, you think I have a Ruach Sheker, and the Ruchot Hashem, they're flying around. Yeah, I just had a Nevoah just now also to hit you in the face. And Michayahu says, you just wait and see. On that day when my Nevoah comes true, you're going to be hiding in a room, meaning you'll be in the inner chambers, you're going to be trying to find some closet inside some house in order to run away, to avoid the terrible things that are going to happen when we lose that battle. V'yom ha-melech Yisrael, kach et Michayahu v'ashivehu el amon sar ha'ir v'el Yoash ben ha-melech. And Melech Yisrael says, okay, take Michayahu and bring him back, apparently, to town. They were still in the threshing grounds, right? Now they have to take him back to town. Other people want to say that he already was at one point in detention by Amon Sanhair, the governor's quarters, and to Yoash ben Melech. And this is the only mention we have of, aside from the parallel account in the Devarei Hayamim, but this is the only mention we have of Yoash ben Achav, of another son of Achav. He doesn't take the throne later. Apparently, Yoash ben Amelech now has some jurisdiction over certain governmental functions, including the idea of the incarceration of Michayahu that is about to take place. And he says, so says the king. We're used to trying to find Ko Amar Hashem, and here we have Ko Amar Hamelech. Ironic, because we're still trying to find out what really is Ko Amar Hashem here, which is still cloaked in the suspicion. Stick this thing, it doesn't even call him a person, stick this in the prison, and keep feeding him scant bread and scant water, small amounts that he barely can live on, until I come back in peace. And he hopes that by doing it this way, that the Navi, Michayahu, will take back what he said, being that they used to believe that the messengers had power over their message, and that the saying of the message actually creates realities. And so here too, if he can convince somehow, tie the survival of Michayahu to his own survival, that Michayahu will pray for him, will look to change the Nevoah, will say something different that will allow him to come back, and then the both of them will survive. But Michayahu already reads this situation, and he says, "Vayomer Michayahu, im shov tashuv b'shalom, lo diber Adonai bi." And Michayahu says, "If you ever come back in peace, then God didn't speak in me. I mean, I'm not a real Navi." And obviously, he believes in himself. He is saying that this is the real Nevoah. The real Nevoah is that you, Achav, are going to die in this battle. Nothing is going to change that. I am not going to change it. It can't be changed. It's part of Hashem's plan. And you're not coming back. Vayomer shim'u amim kulam. And he said, hear ye people, all of you. Now, who says this is not clear. It could be Michayahu who says, all of you should hear this. I want everyone to hear what I just said. So I'm not taking back what I previously predicted. And amim here can mean shevatim. It can mean all of the other nations, meaning it could be Yisrael and Yehuda. It could be also he's sending his word out, so to speak, to everyone in the world to hear, to the Aram. All the nations should hear that I'm not taking back what I said. I'm standing firm with what I had already predicted. Or it could be the king saying, oh, everyone hear that? Everyone hear what he just said? He's asking for it. I'm justified in the punishment I just gave him. Whatever I doled out, he deserves. So, the more surprising part is, here we were desperately trying to find out the word of God. We saw that they were looking to Michayahu to be that representative of the word of God. And you'd expect that now they're going to listen to the word of God. But, apparently, they're not. Because both the kings go to Ramot Gilad, and they're going to go to battle. On the one hand, it is strange that way. On the other hand, you can say that since really Michayahu didn't address the issue of the battle itself, aside from the people being scattered over the mountains and not having a leader, that might have been interpreted as they were able to conquer all the different spots over the mountain, and then only then return home in peace, in which case there's going to be a victory. And the only question really is Achav going to die in this battle or not? And if they believe in the Navi, Achav is going to die. And if they don't believe in Michayahu, then Achav has a chance to live. Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Melech Yisrael El Yehoshafat. Hitchapes Vavoba Milchama. Ve'ata Levash Begadecha. Ve'itchapes Melech Yisrael Vayavoba Milchama. Now this pasuk has a very difficult translation. I'll translate it and then give over the gist of what probably is going on here. So the king of Israel says to Yehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. This is the JPS translation. I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. That's not necessarily what it says. The literal translation is, Melech Yisrael tells Yehoshaphat, you dress up and go into the battle, and you wear your clothes. And Melech Yisrael got disguised and went into the battle. And there's no... The execution is attributed to the king of Israel. The order is in regards to king of Yehuda, to Yehoshaphat. It seems to be that really the idea was a switch, that everyone's going to be disguising as the other one. The difficult phrasing here is ve'ata levash begadecha, and you wear your clothes. It's not clear why they need to add and you wear your clothes. If you're dressing up and you're being disguised, and why is he wearing his clothes? So the possible solution to this quandary of this pasuk is that Melech Yisrael tells Yehoshaphat, I want you to dress up like me in the battle, but I want you to also be wearing your clothes underneath. And we'll see how that might come in later. And in addition to all of that, the Pasuk tells us, unrelated to the beginning of the Pasuk, that Melech Yisrael also disguised himself, not as Melech Yehuda. We're going to see later, he did not get dressed up as like Melech Yehuda, but rather, he just got dressed up like a regular soldier, and he went into the battle. U'melech Aram tziva et sarei harechev ashelo shloshim u'shnayim lemor, lo tilachamu et katon ve'et gadol, ki emet Melech Yisrael levado. And Melech Aram told his 32 Sarei Rechev, telling him, I don't want you to fight anybody. No big generals, no small generals. You have one target, Achav. That's your only target. And it's so ironic, Ben-Hadad, who is the Melech of Aram, who is the one who made the treaty, who is the one who Achav saved from utter and complete humiliation, decimation, picked him up onto his chariot and called him my brother, colleague, struck a treaty with him. He is the one now saying, the only target is Achav. He's the one you got to get. So this becomes much more in line with what Michaihu was saying, that basically the only person in danger in this battle is Achav. There is no other target. The only person that we care about, says Melech Aram, is Achav. It could be a strategy that, you know, you chop off the head, the rest of the army falls apart, but from the standpoint of Aram, this was not a battle over Ramot Gilad. This was a battle to kill Achav. That was the entire reason for them to be engaged in this battle, even though they knew that they were trying to come to take Ramot Gilad. Vahi kirot tzarei harechev et Yehoshaphat. Vehem amru, ach melech Yisrael hu, vayasru alav leilachem. Vayizak Yehoshaphat. So when they got into the battle, tzarei harechev, the captains of the chariots of the forces of Yehoshaphat, the head of the tank unit, They came close and they said, oh, this is Melech Yisrael. They see him dressed up with the royal garbs of Melech Yisrael. And they turn around to go attack him, to fight. But he's Aki Yehoshaphat. And Yehoshaphat cries out. What does he cry out? Doesn't say what he cries out. Well, let's see what the next thing is that the text tells us. Vahi kirot tzarei harechev kilo Melech Yisrael hu, vayashuvu me'acharav. But then when the Sarei Arechev saw that he wasn't Melech Yisrael, then they turned back from pursuing him, they retreated. Now, how is it that the Sarei Arechev now recognized that he's not Melech Yisrael? In the olden days, it wasn't that there was Facebook posts, we don't have anybody's pictures, there's no newspapers, there's not a famous portrait of the king. It's possible that the people involved in the military knew what their target looked like. I'm not denying the ability that was the case. But I think in order to have good usage of what it is that we saw in Pasuk Lamed, Ve'ata Levash Begadecha, Yehoshaphat, when he sees things are getting close, he disrobes his royal garb of Melech Yisrael, and instead he has his own garb. And even though he's a Melech Yehuda, the Melech of Aram said, "Lo tilachamu et katon ve et gadol." I don't care if you have Melech Yehuda, you know, within your sights and you can kill him. That's not our target. Leave them alone. The only person to get is Melech Yisrael. And so that's really the security that Achav gave to Yehoshaphat and told him, listen, they're going to be coming after me. I'm the only target in this battle, according to Michaihu. And therefore, if you're going to be under attack, just, you know, take off this disguise and they'll see that you have your own clothes underneath. They'll leave you alone. And that's maybe exactly what had happened. And he'd call out that the crying of Yehoshaphat was, I am not Melech Yisrael. So we have an ability to try to make use of all of our psukim and make sense of the story all at the same time, which is always a preferable shot reading. Vahi, pasuk lamedalet. Ve'ish mashach bakeshet letumo. Vayaket melech Yisrael ben hadevakim uben hashiryan. Vayomer lakavo hafoch yadcha vehotzeini min hamachane ki hacholeti. And a certain man was drawing his bow, letumo, nonchalant, and not necessarily thinking that he was going to fire it, maybe, or not necessarily thinking he was going to kill somebody, or not necessarily he was thinking of killing Melech Yisrael, but he hit, he was able to target and kill Melech Yisrael. He didn't die just yet. The arrow is being shot exactly at the weak point of the chink in the armor, so to speak, between the lower armor and the breastplate. And he tells the driver, Achav is telling the driver, I would like you now to turn around and get me out of here because I've been hit. I'm wounded. It's not clear that he's being taken out altogether, because as we see now in Pasuk Lamed Hei, V'ta'aleh ha-melchama b'yom ahu, v'ha-melech haya mu'amad b'merkava nochach aram, v'yamot b'ere v'yisek dam ha-makah el-chek ha-rachev. Because the time of the battle going on that entire day, the king remained standing or stood or being stood. He was held up in the Merkava. They made him make sure that he would still be able to be standing all the time in order to face Aram. And this way, all of the soldiers saw that their leader was still there and they would continue battling against Aram. Vayamot ba'erev, but Achav died in the evening time from loss of blood, and the blood was running out of his wound, and it went into the bottom of the chariot, so he's full of blood all over the chariot. And the cry went out throughout the entire camp as the sun went down, saying, every man to his city, every man to his country, meaning whether you're Yehuda or Yisrael, whoever's fighting here now, go back home. The battle is over. We're not going to continue fighting. Melech Yisrael has been killed. Our leader is dead. And so we have the idea of the prophecy of Michaihu being fulfilled. There's no record of Michaihu actually getting incarcerated, as it says, and there's no record of his being released, if he was correct now, and we don't know what the fate of Michaihu was. If indeed Michaihu is Eliyahu, he definitely was not incarcerated or he was released, because we have stories of Eliyahu afterwards. And Eliyahu probably wouldn't have allowed things to like that happen to him without using some of his powers to release himself. The melech died and he was brought, not he, it says vayavo, meaning he came, but it's like huva, he was brought to Shomron, and the king was buried in Shomron. וישטוף את הרכב עד ברכת שומרון, וילוקו הכלבים את דמו, והזונות רחצו כדבר אדוני אשר דיבר. They washed the chariots in the pools of the Shomron, and the dogs licked up the blood, and והזונות רחצו, and the harlots, the prostitutes, washed themselves there, just like God predicted, just as God said and commanded. And this is reference to the cursing at the end of the parasha of Navot, and the idea that his blood will be licked by the dogs. The prostitutes is an added feature here that is added bizayon, added disgrace to Achav. Again, the people point out this is not the exact location of Yisrael where Navot was, and we explained there that the location doesn't need to be a geographic location, because the word bimkom there meant instead of, or in place of, or in payment for and not necessarily referencing the geographic location. So again, this is a fulfillment of God's command. V'yeter divrei Achav v'chol asher asah ובת השן אשר בנה, וכל הערים אשר בנה, הלוהם כתובים אסף דברי הימים המלכי ישראל. And all the rest of the acts of Ahab and everything else that he did, and the ivory palace that he built, that gives you a sense of the luxury items that he managed to amass in this tremendous, powerful kingdom, and all the cities that he built, they're all written up in the annals and chronicles of the book of Malchei Yisrael, also mentioned throughout מלכים. וישכב אחיו עם אבותיו, וימלוך אחזיהו בנו תחתיו. We reached the end of an era, the era of Achav, that we've dealt with in the last few prakim. Achav dies, and he sleeps with his fathers, and again, they have difficulty, some of the scholars, with this term, because it seems to be that that term is reserved for peaceful deaths, and here it was not a peaceful death, but in either case, he's definitely has been killed, he is dead. Achav is interned with his ancestors, and his son Achaziahu is ruling instead of him. And now all of the difficult things are supposed to be happening to Achaziahu. Let's see what it is that happens with him. But before that, now the text says, oh, well, we have to go back and backtrack over to Malchut Yehuda. So until now, we dealt with Melech Yisrael of Achav, and Achav's reign went on and included some of the years of Yehoshaphat, and we told the last story of Achav that included Yehoshaphat, even though you didn't know who Yehoshaphat was. Now here's Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat ben Asa, malach al Yehuda, b'shnat arba, le'achav melech Yisrael. And Yehoshaphat, the son of Asa, ruled over Yehuda in the fourth year of Achav. Yehoshaphat ben 35 shana ben molcho, ve'25 shana malach b'Yerushalayim. V'shem imo azuva bat shilhi. Yehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became the king, and he ruled for another 25 years till he was 60, and he ruled in Yerushalayim, and his mother's name was Azuva bat Shilchi. Vayelech v'chol derech asa aviv lo sar mimenu la'asot hayashar be'enei Adonai. So here it's not a comparison to David, but rather he followed Asa's ways. He didn't turn away from them. He did what was straight and righteous in the eyes of God. Ach habamot lo saru. Od ha'am zabechim katrim babamot. Another common refrain that even when things are good in Yehuda, still people are bringing up their korbanot on the local barbecue or in the backyard, and they weren't all going to the Bet HaMikdash. Still, they were doing their own thing. This was something that he couldn't get rid of. But vayashlem Yehoshaphat im Melech Yisrael. So it was during the time of Yehoshaphat that he had peace with Melech Yisrael. It's possible that it was already at the end of the reign of in the times of Achav, there was a peace treaty Yehoshaphat had with Achav. V'yeter divrei Yehoshaphat u'gvuratu asher asah v'asher nilcham halohem ketuvim asef et divrei hayamim l'malchei Yehuda. Now, in addition to what it says here in regards to making peace, we'll see in Melachim Bet that there was also a political union of son and daughter between the kingdoms, so that they would be able to join together. In the times of Achav, there is, in the time of Yehoshaphat, there is a hope of reuniting the kingdom and having strong political connections, a strong army, cooperation in regards to the use of armed forces, the idea of being able to have a melding of the kingdoms together. It was a very promising time, and the problem is that we see in the Divrei Hayamim, Yehoshaphat's connecting to Reshaim, Achav, Achaziahu, is something that comes under fire from the Nevi'im there, and Yehoshaphat here is not berated for it, but in the Divrei Hayamim is, and so that seems to be the problem in regards to trying to make the kingdom united when they're not ready to all worship Hashem. Yehoshaphat is, but Achav's kingdom is not. V'yeh Divrei Yehoshaphat u'gvuratu asher asah v'asher nilcham halachim ketuvim asef et Divrei Hayamim melechei Yehuda. All the rest of the things that Yehoshaphat did, and all the might that he showed, and whatever battles he carried out, they're all written up in the annals of Malchei Yehuda, of the kings of Yehuda. V'yeter hakadesh asher nishar b'mei asa aviv b'er min ha'aretz. And even though Pasuk Mem Vav is usually looks like a standard closure for talking about the king's reign, suddenly we have little bits and pieces of the reign of Yehoshaphat that sneak up after the close, the standard closing. Number one, He got rid of all of the kadesh, all of the prostitutes for the Avodah Zarah that were still around in the time of his father Asa. In addition, Umelech en Be'edom Nitzav Melech, there was also no king in the time of Yehoshaphat in Edom. There was only a governor, and whether or not that was one of the escapades of Yehoshaphat himself or Melech Yisrael, it might be attributable to Yehoshaphat. Pasuk Memtet, Yehoshaphat asa oniyot tashish lalechet ofira lazahav velo halach ki nishbiru oniyot be'etzion gaver. Yehoshaphat made strong sailboats or Tarshish sailboats. Either they came from Tarshish or they were the same style as the boats from Tarshish. We saw this also in the time of Shlomo. And again, all of the references to success and the idea of military political success are all relating back to Shlomo to say that we could have gotten back to that heyday. And they were going to go to Ophir to get the gold. If you remember, they went there the other time also. But they didn't succeed because the boats broke in Etzion Gaver, what we know as Eilat. The boats were broken. It's possible that they were broken again through divine intervention, that they were broken as a punishment for joining up with Achav, which seems to be the implication in the Bnei HaYamim. Or it could have been some technical glitch that they weren't able to overcome. They didn't have the wisdom of Shlomo. Az amar Chazyahu ben Achav Yehoshaphat yelchu avadai im abadecha ba'oniyot ve'lo ava Yehoshaphat. And Chazyahu ben Achav, who was the king after Achav, tells Yehoshaphat, let my servants go with your servants in the boats. And Yehoshaphat did not want that to happen. Now, whether or not that meant he wanted to repair the boats, if it was the same event as in Pasuk Memtet, or it was afterwards, Az, meaning later, that after he already fixed up the boats, now Ahaziah wanted to join him, but Yehoshaphat refused. And he refused either because the relations between the two kingdoms cooled down, or because they were cooled down because he received this nevuah that we read about in Devarei HaYamim, that tells him that it's not a good idea to stay connected to the northern kingdom while they're still Rishaim. In either case, the boat trip does not take place, at least not recorded as they're bringing back the gold, as we saw in the time of Shlomo, and the assumption is that the boats remain in disrepair. וישכב יהושפט עם אבותיו, ויקבל עם אבותיו בעיר דוד אביו, וימלוך יהורם בנו תחתיו. And Yehoshaphat died and was interned with his fathers in עיר דוד, and his son Yehoram took over in his stead. So now we have Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, and later you'll have Yehoram also be a Melech, but he's going to be Yehoram ben Achav, who's going to take over for his brother Achaziahu, who we're going to see now has a very short reign, and he's going to die, and Yehoram ben Achav, who is his brother, is going to take over. Achaziahu ben Achav, Manacha Yisrael b'Shomron, b'shnat 17 Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda, v'yimlocha Yisrael shenatayim. And Achaziahu ben Achav became the king over Yisrael, based in Shomron, in the 17th year of Yehoshaphat, and he's going to rule over Yisrael only for 2 years. So we had, again, in the time of Achav, Yehoshaphat began his reign, and now Achav died. Achaziahu takes over. Yehoshaphat is still ruling. It's in the 17th year of Yehoshaphat. And remember, Yehoshaphat had a 25-year reign, so he's going to also outlive Achaziahu's reign. He's going to have another Melech Yisrael beyond that. It's going to be Yehoram. V'yas hara b'einei Adonai v'yelech b'derech aviv v'derech imo v'derech Yerovam b'nevat asher yecheti et Yisrael. And he did what was evil in the eyes of God, and he followed his father and his mother's ways. And we can refer to the differences between listening to your father and mother that we read about in Mishle and in the Torah about following their ways. But here it's for evil. And he followed also the ways of Yerovam ben Nevat, who also made all of Am Yisrael sin. We went back to the Yerovam standard. Vayavod et ha-baal vayishtachavelo. And he worshipped the Baal and he bowed down to it. This was similar to Achav, his father. That's exactly what he did when he was getting married to Izebel. And that's what he instituted as part of the national religion in the north. And he did everything that his father did that angered God, Elohei Yisrael. And this is the end of Melachim Aleph. As you can see, the end of Melachim Aleph is quite arbitrary cutoff. We're in the middle of a reign of Achaziahu ben Achav. We're in the middle of the reign of Yehoshaphat. We don't have any closure and any literary sense in this of you know how we're going to be able to look at things. If anything, we should have cut things off at the end of the reign of Achav. But like we all noted before, the break-offs of the chapters and of the books is not a Jewish invention. Sometimes it's arbitrary. It was sometimes there's rhyme and reason. Langton, when he decided to make this break, had a reason. I don't know what it was, but it seems to be that we are in some type of a cliffhanger. We're going to continue into Melachim Bet, pretty much just picking up in the middle of a story, and moving on then to the end of the story of Eliyahu, as you move into the beginning of Melachim Bet, and you'll be introduced to Elisha as a Navi, taking over for Eliyahu. In summary of all of Melachim Aleph, we saw the rise of kingdom, of a kingship in Am Yisrael, of how David HaMelech managed to have succession, and that really began kingship in Israel, to have a dynastic kingship. We saw the idea of how power corrupts, even power corrupts for David, the price that's paid for that indiscretions and crimes that need to be punished. The role of Am Yisrael and the choices that kings make in order for their people to listen to them and in order for them to function in the international sphere, the choices to be able to make in regards to maintaining religious and national identity over the ability to gather luxury goods and be able to have iron production and a strong military, and the critique explicit and implicit in the text that really the idea, again, as Yirmiyahu is looking back and trying to understand the seeds of destruction for the Khurban that we see from the get-go, that every now and then, even the best of the kings, even the Shlomo, even the David, no matter who it was that we have, there's some issues that we have that are not fully based in keeping the Torah and Mitzvot, and this religious response to the national Khurban is what Yirmiyahu is trying to explain to us and give over to us as he writes Sefer Melachim. Good luck in the rest of your learning endeavors.